So Advent, The Force Awakens. Some of you guys know that the new Star Wars movie is coming out in a couple weeks. So little did I know House of Praise was going to send you a reminder in your mailboxes as well about the Star Wars theme. But this morning we're going to be talking about a new love, a new thing coming into the world with Jesus. I encourage you to pull out your sermon notes. You can follow along with that. And when you hear the words of Jesus, when you think about Jesus, you can sometimes, I don't know, at least I do, maybe you don't do this, picture Jesus walking through dusty cities. And Jesus must have been in these big fancy temples and in the big Jerusalem city. But most of his life, most of his ministry was upstate. Well, it would have been upcountry, but it was upstate. It was out of the city, and it was in the small Castleton areas of Jerusalem, of Israel. And we're going to read from Matthew 12. And Jesus is walking along, and there are people watching Jesus and listening to Jesus. And we're going to hear one of those interchanges. Matthew chapter 12. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry and began to pick some heads of the grain and eat them. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to him, "Look, your disciples are doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath." And Jesus replied, and really what he's saying is here, haven't you read the Bible, the scriptures? Haven't you read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God, and he and his companions ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for them to do. It was only for priests. Or, haven't you read in the law that on the Sabbath the priests in the temple desecrate that day and yet are innocent? I tell you that one who is greater than the temple is here. If you had known what these words mean, "I desire mercy, not sacrifice," you would not have condemned the innocent. For the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath. Going on from that place, he went into their synagogue. Now, I want to show you a picture here, just to put this in a little bit of a context, because they're out in the grain fields, and the Pharisees are, "What are you doing eating?" You know, picking the heads. And then it says, well, they went into the synagogue. This is the town of Capernaum. This is where Jesus spent most of his time. And that sort of saucer-shaped thing in the middle, that's a big chapel built over where Peter's house was. So they've actually found Peter's house. This is one place they can authentically say Jesus slept here. And if you notice, there's a white structure just forward of that. That's the synagogue structure. And so... And also, just a point of interest, to the left, outside the wall, you see other structures that are grown around. That's where the Romans were. So when like Jairus came over and said, "Will you heal my daughter?" He came from over there where the Romans were into the village. But the rest would have been grain fields. So Jesus wasn't taking a far walk when he walked from outside the wall, inside the wall, to the synagogue. So we continue. Going on from that place, he went into their synagogue. And a man with a shriveled hand was there. Looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, those Pharisees asked him, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "If any of you had a sheep and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, would you not take hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable is a man than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." Then he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." So he stretched it out, and it was completely restored, just as sound as the other one. But the Pharisees went out and plotted how they might kill Jesus. Aware of this, Jesus withdrew from that place, and many followed him, and he healed their sick, warning them not to tell who he was. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. "Here is my servant whom I have chosen, and the one whom I love, in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will proclaim justice to the nations. He will not quarrel or cry out. No one will hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break. A smoldering wick he will not snuff out till he leads justice to victory. In his name the nations will put their hope. This is the word of the Lord. Advent. The Advent season, the expectation. Did you hear those words? Oh, look at that scroll. Okay. I just couldn't help myself. If you're a Star Wars fan, you know what that means. But these are those final words from the prophet Isaiah. Here is my servant whom I have chosen, whom I delight. I'll put my spirit on him to be the hope for the nations. These words were given over 700 years before Jesus was born. These are the words of prophecy saying, you can expect, you can wait, and now that waiting is over. Jesus has come, the servant has come, who is going to proclaim justice to the nations. He's going to be in humble places, he's going to be gentle to the oppressed, he's going to lead justice to victory, because when there's justice, then there can be peace, and when there can be peace, there can be joy. This justice is coming from a new force, awakened in the world with the arrival of Jesus. A force of love and mercy. If you're following along in the sermon notes, there are some blanks there. But Jesus had already shown he had power and force. We had been reading through Matthew, and he had power over the wind and waves. He had power over even sin and illness and demons. But that wasn't the core important part of his force. It's the fact that it was coming out of love and mercy. We need to hold on to that and remember that. Now, as I was reading through this passage, there was one line that really jumped out at me. And it said, I tell you that one greater than the temple is here. Jesus says this as he's trying to help the Pharisees, those religious scholars and students and leaders, to help them understand. And he says, I tell you, the one greater than the temple is here. It's interesting to think about who he's talking to here. He's talking to the Pharisees, but not like the Jerusalem Pharisees. You know, these were the up in Galilee backwater Pharisees, and you know, they had a synagogue, but they didn't have the temple. If they wanted to see the temple, they had to take the journey to Jerusalem. That's where the temple was. And so, you know, they were here in this small area, but for them, the temple in Jerusalem, that was the epicenter. That was the place that mattered. I've been meeting with Cub Scouts this week talking about God and religion, and I was asking them how many have been to a sporting event. And almost all of them had been to the Joe. You know, they'd seen the Valley Cats. Oh yeah, I've seen that. But that's you pay baseball there. But it's just no Fenway Park or Wrigley Field or the new Yankee Stadium. There's just a huge difference between the Joe and the new Yankee Stadium. And that's sort of like the difference here. If you've got these Pharisees here in the synagogue, but they know about the temple. They occasionally get to visit the temple, and that's the epicenter of faith and religion and the nation. And Jesus is saying, hey, something greater than that is here. And he starts dealing with them with common problems of where, you know, the innocent are called guilty and those who think they're innocent are actually guilty, and people losing sight of what's truly important as they get together and try and seek God. What did they say? The Pharisees are like, look, your disciples are doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath. That was the line. They're doing it wrong. They're breaking the law. What were they doing? They were hungry and they ate a snack. I mean, that really doesn't sound that bad, does it? You know, they were going through the fields, and they were plucking the head off the grains, sort of rolling them up, getting a little wheat out there, and having a little wheat snack. You know, what does it mean you're doing what is unlawful? Well, the Sabbath, as we hear in the Ten Commandments, honor, you know, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy and don't do work on it. And so they had come up with a whole list of what it was work and what wasn't work, and harvesting was work. Well, and that's true. If you're out there, you know, with the sickle and cutting it down and baling it up and putting it on a cart, that's work. But here they are just taking the head off and eating it. And, oh, no, you can't have a snack that way. Now, if it's already down, maybe you could pick it up, but that you're harvesting, and harvesting is work, therefore you're doing what is unlawful. And Jesus is like, you guys just don't get it. So he answers in a couple different ways. He looks at history. He says, look at King David. David was a righteous guy. David was following the Lord. He loved the Lord. He even went into the temple and ate the bread that was supposed to be just for the priests. And it was okay because they were hungry. They were really starving. They needed some food. They ate it. And he looks at the law and he says, well, look at the priests. You know, that every Sabbath day, which was Saturday, every Sabbath, they go and they do their work so that everybody else can worship. They're not guilty. And so he looks at history, he looks at the law, and then he looks at lives and says, what about you guys? If your sheep falls into a pit, aren't you going to help it out? Aren't you going to do good? Aren't you going to take care of needs? It's always lawful to do good. Again, you can write that word good in there to remember that. It's always lawful to do good. Jesus says, you know, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. God desires mercy, not sacrifice. This is the second time in the book of Matthew that phrase has come up. In Matthew 9, he was dealing with sinners and people that they thought, they're not even worth helping. And Jesus says, go and learn what it means, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. Now here, a little while later, I almost wonder if he's dealing with the same group of Pharisees. He said, if you had known what these words meant, I desire mercy, not sacrifice, then you'd be okay. But they don't get it. That's God's heart. Back, this is coming out of a prophet of old, Hosea. And he says, God says, through the prophet, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, an acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings. That idea of sacrifice, that's not about, you know, no pain, no gain type of sacrifice. This is about their ritualistic offerings to the Lord, putting up those sacrifices. Like, now, that's fine. It reminds you, it connects you, it's following the law, but it's not the main thing. The main thing is mercy and love. Love over the law. So he's talking about the temple. Let's take a picture, take a look at the picture of the temple. So this is a replication of the temple at Jesus' time. And he's saying there's something greater than the temple. And that quote there, the temple is like the blood to the body, that's actually was something I heard recently in an interview with an Orthodox Jew. The temple is still viewed that significantly, even though it's been destroyed for generations. But the temple is central. It's like the heart, the blood. And the priests are saying, hey, this is what we think is most important. A temple, the temple. And Jesus responds, hey, there's something greater. There's someone greater. Now, let's look at this. This is actually what it looks like today. And that, if you've ever heard of the Western Wall or the Wailing Wall, that's in Jerusalem. And especially at the beginning of Sabbath, the Orthodox men will come and pray at that wall. And he's saying there's something better than that. See the next click. This is the Blue Mosque in Istanbul. If you go inside there, it's amazing. He's saying there's something better than that. Next one. This is the Temple of the Jade Buddha in Bangkok, Thailand. And he's saying there's something better than this one. Now next, this is the Lotus Temple in Delhi, India. And it's of the Baha'i faith. And he's saying there's something better than this. And we're like, of course, you know, because there's this. There's St. Peter's Basilica. And let's see the next slide. If you go inside that, it's just amazing inside there. And Jesus is saying, there's something better than any of this that we can do as people desperately try and get to God and honor God and worship God. And Jesus says, it's not even something better. He's saying, someone greater. There is someone greater than the temple. We're all trying to get through life, trying to do it as good as we can, trying to make the best of whatever situation we find ourselves in. Jesus says, hey, there's someone great. He says, it's me to focus on. And it's so easy to get off track as we're trying to head towards a good life. And, you know, when I hear off track, I think, well, then you head to the dark side. Okay, I've got to do something with Star Wars with this, the bulletin cover. So Star Wars, if you haven't seen it, you know, it's called a space opera, but there's no music in it. I don't understand that. But, you know, we've got two trilogies and a third trilogy coming out, and a big theme throughout the entire movie series is the dark side versus the light. And people turning to the dark side. And the first of all the movies, not that came out, but of the storyline, has little Anakin. And he's such a cute little good boy. But you can see that shadow in the back. He ultimately becomes Darth Vader. So, and even if you haven't seen the movies, you know that Darth Vader's the bad guy. And so here we've got this guy who starts out good. But then he tries to be a Jedi, and he tries to do the Jedi way, and he tries to follow all their rules and, you know, rituals and all the right things to make him a Jedi. But inside, he's always fighting against it. He's always rebelling. He's always got this anger within him. And eventually, that consumes him, and he's taken to the dark side. That can happen when we get our eyes off the right things, when we forget that there is someone greater, when then we forget what we should keep our eyes on. Let's look back at that quote from the Pharisees. I mean, the Pharisees went out and plotted how they might kill Jesus. Does that sound like they might have gone to the dark side? I mean, here were the Pharisees, the religious folks, the good guys. And they're saying, well, let's figure out how to kill him. And they had slipped by taking their eyes off of what truly mattered, of love and mercy. And then they got into doing things right at the temple and following the laws perfectly and you know, well you can take grain out of the bowl, but don't take it off the wheat head, and they break it down onto all this little stuff and they forget what it's truly about. I desire mercy, not ritual and sacrifice. We need to welcome in and walk with the one who is greater, the one who is the light of the world, keeping our eyes, our focus on the one who's greater. Greater than the temple, greater than anything here. That's what we celebrate at Christmas time. The one arrived. God came, put flesh on, incarnation. We need to learn what it means that God desires mercy, not sacrifice. Love, not ritual. God showed true love by coming in and sending his son. It's not about the place. It's about the people. We you know, Jesus is talking about, you know, it's better than the temple. We can so easily forget that. You know, we get so focused on the building. But I was actually using those same pictures of all those holy places where I've been all over the world. And I've been to many of the top holy sites on the planet. But the best worship, the best connection I've had with God has been in rural villages, worshiping where we've got nothing but a bad sound system and hard wooden benches. But the heart is there, the focus is there, the people are there. A church is the people, and we happen to meet in a place. It's about not the rules, but the relationships. You know, yeah, God lays out really good ways to live. And if we follow those ways, life is better. So I'm not at all saying, oh, it doesn't matter if you're, you know, not paying attention to God's ways. Yeah, God's ways matter because they work. But the ultimate goal is good relationships with each other, good relationships with God, relationship with God. And the rules help us in that. Of if we're coveting, if we're always wanting our other somebody else's stuff, that's going to break down the relationship. But it's ultimately, that's the point, is the relationships, not the rules. And finally, it's not the tradition, but the transcendence. Okay, I had to work a little hard on the alliteration there. But the transcendent, that which goes beyond this world, God, the eternal things that last. You know, nothing that we're touching is lasting, but things like hope, peace, and joy, praise of God, they last. So it's not about the tradition. The traditions are just tools we use to get where God wants us. So I have nothing against traditions. I love traditions, but that's never the main thing. So places not bad, rules not bad, traditions not bad, but all of them, Jesus says there's something better of people, relationships, and God. Spend time this Christmas, this season, on what truly matters. Connect with the Lord. Connect with the Lord in worship times, in private times reading the Bible, in times of prayer. Connect with the loved ones. Connect with those people who maybe you need to make a phone call and say, "Hey, I'm sorry we haven't talked in a really long time." Or, "I was just thinking about you and I just wanted to send you a little note." A little Facebook message or an actual written letter. Connect with people. The loved ones. But also don't forget the unloved ones. People who the world might be forgetting. People who need some help and encouragement. I love the Anchor Food Pantry. They set up this Christmas shop, and it's just amazing where people in need in our community can go in and get presents for their family, free of charge. A way to love the unloved. Where we can say, what are ministries that are reaching to those that maybe we don't come in contact with regularly, but need the love of God? For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. There's a new love that came into this world with Jesus. Let us live it and share it. Dear Lord, we thank You so much for the love that You've shown and that You show you set up traditions and religion and all the forms, but what is most important is what they point to and lead to. And that is loving You and loving others. May that be ever more true of our lives this holiday season. In Jesus' name, amen.